Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today we're going to be looking at an old Sunday school lesson. This is one that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of November the 21st, 1926. It's about Joshua renewing the covenant, and you may want to turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 24, and in a few moments we'll read the lesson text, Joshua 24, verses 14 through 25. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's read together the lesson text for the Sunday school lesson about Joshua renewing the covenant. Joshua 24, verses 14 through 25. Now therefore, fear Jehovah, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve ye Jehovah. And if it seem evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. And the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake Jehovah to serve other gods. For Jehovah, our God, he it is that brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and that did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the peoples through the midst of whom we passed. And Jehovah drove out from before all the peoples, even the Amorites that dwelt in the land. Therefore also we will serve Jehovah, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve Jehovah, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God, he will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If ye forsake Jehovah and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you evil and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve Jehovah. And Joshua said to the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you Jehovah to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto Jehovah, the God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, Jehovah our God will we serve, and to his voice we will hearken. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute as an ordinance in Shechem. Let me read the geographical note. Shechem. This city was about 34 miles north of Jerusalem, between Mount Ebal and Mount Jezreel. Here Abraham first built an altar in the land of promise, Genesis 12, 6 and 7. Here Jacob, on his return to Canaan, bought a parcel of ground of Hamor, Genesis 33, 18 through 20. He rescued Lot from Amorites. He rescued the altar from the Amorites, Genesis 48:22, and gave the land to Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, John 4, 5 and 6. Here Joshua assembled the children of Israel to read to them the law of God and pronounce the blessings and the curses, Soon after they entered the land, and here the bones of Joseph were buried. Joshua 24 and verse 32. Thus Shechem was surrounded by sacred events. Now here's some helps and hints for the teacher. Joshua chapter 23 gives an account of Joshua's assembling all Israel before him when he was old and well stricken in years. But that was probably not the same assembly as the one in our lesson. It is not stated where that assembly was held. The one in our lesson was held at Shechem. Our lesson brings us to the triumphant end of a true, pure, heroic, and eventful life. Joshua passed through many trials and powerful temptations, but his character is not marred by sin. It stands out before the world clean, bright, and beautiful. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. And I'll read again Joshua 24, this time verse 14, before we go to those notes, where it says, "Now therefore fear Jehovah, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve ye Jehovah." This chapter, from verses chapter 24, from verse 1 to 28, is a solemn address of an old man ready to die to the people whom he loved and for whom he had sacrificed and fought his long life through. And he said, "Now therefore, fear Jehovah." That is, in view of what God had done for them, as enumerated in the preceding verse, he'd brought Abraham from beyond the river Euphrates, led him through Canaan, given him Isaac. He'd given Jacob and Esau to Isaac, and he had given Mount Seir to Esau. He had set Moses and Aaron and plagued the Egyptians, and he delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He destroyed the Egyptians in the sea, and he had destroyed the Amorites in who dwelt beyond the Jordan, and he had changed Balaam's cursings into blessings. He had given them Jericho and delivered all the different nations of the land west of the Jordan into their hands. The Israelites had not done it by their sword and bow together, but he had sent, as he had promised, the hornet which drove out the inhabitants, and he had given them the land whereon they had not labored, in cities where they had not builded, in vineyards and olive trees they had not planted. They were familiar with all these wonders God had wrought, and they were enjoying all these gifts God had bestowed upon them in gratitude. And as a matter of right, they should serve God and be true to him. So Paul asks now, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. "In consideration of his mercies, and as our spiritual service, we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." Romans 12, 1-2. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4, 19. To fear God is not to dread him or to be filled with terror, but to serve him with reverence and awe. All should be afraid to do wrong, and to serve him in sincerity and in truth. Sincerity is freedom from all wrong motives and pretenses and hypocrisies. To serve God in sincerity is to serve him with all honesty of purpose and pure motive. To serve God in truth is to serve him according to his will and not through idols. God's word is truth, John 17:17, and to obey his word is to serve him in truth. Jesus now says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." That's what it means to serve in sincerity and in truth. That's John 4 and verse 24. In serving God, we must do exactly what he says. We must do it when He says do it, in the way He says do it, and with the right motive. The worship of God by those who teach for doctrines the commandments of men is vain. Mark 7:1-13. Anything offered to God as a service when it comes from the wisdom of man makes the worship vain. Therefore God says, put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. Serve ye Jehovah. There were still idols and idolatry among the Israelites. In verse 23, Joshua exhorts them to put away the foreign gods which were among them. This verse and verses 15 and 23 show what kind of idolatry was among them. The river was the river Euphrates, and the gods of their fathers beyond the river were the gods of the Chaldeans. Fire, light, the sun, those of the Egyptians, Apis, Anubis, the ape, serpents, vegetables, etc. Those of the Canaanites and Moabites, Baal Peor, or Parapus, Astar, or Venus, etc. The fathers on the other side of the Euphrates were Terah, the father of Abraham and the mother of Nahor, and they served other gods. Rachel stole her father's gods when he left Jacob for Laban, Genesis 31:30-35. And later Jacob had his household to put away the gods which were among them, Genesis 35:1-2. It is strange that in Joshua's time, after all they had seen of the wonders, power, and glory of God, that there should still be idolaters among the Israelites. They believed in the existence of God when they made the golden calf. They intended to worship God through it, Exodus 32:4-6. Idolatry has its attractions. They could see the idols and the temples erected to the worship of idols. Idolatry appealed to the fleshly passions, for licentiousness was embraced in its worship. It held attractive social features and the glamour of success. To appeal to the fleshly passions today in the service of God is a species of idolatry, though of course not so gross as that practiced by the Israelites. For wealth and material success have much to do now in perverting the true spiritual service of God, while the love of display, pride, and vanity do no little to corrupt it. Are not musical instruments, choir singings, and hired musicians an appeal to fleshly passions? God commands His children now to sing, not to make music. He commands them what to sing, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He commands them how to sing with the Spirit, and so that all can understand what is sung, 1 Corinthians 14:15, making melody with the heart unto the Lord, and with grace in the heart unto God, Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. God expressly says covetousness is idolatry in Colossians 3:5. If it is strange that the Israelites clung to idolatry, it is stranger still that professed Christians cling to some features of it. We need to learn that while even the worship of Israel in the Old Testament, even that which was authorized of God, was still of the earth and earthly, and now we're under a better covenant, of better promises, and there's a better worship, and it is spiritual in its orientation. It's not the clamor and the sound of musical instruments that make our worship pleasing to God. It's the melody that comes from our heart. And in singing, we use the words given by the Scriptures to teach and admonish one another. You don't do that with the noise of banjos and fiddles and guitars and organs. It's the spiritual worship that God is desiring of us. and that's what we give.